40. Hero turns around. It's a big, porky white man with wavy, slicked back red hair and a beard. He's got a baseball cap perched on top of his head, tilted way back to expose the following words, tattooed in block letters across his forehead. Mood swings. Racially insensitive. Hero is looking up at all of this over the curving horizon of the man's flannel-clad belly. What is it? Hero says.
Well, sir, I'm sorry to disturb you in the middle of your conversation with this gentleman here, but me and my friends were just wondering, are you a lazy, shiftless, watermelon-eating black-ass nigger, or a sneaky little VD-infected gook?
The man reaches up, pulls the brim of his baseball cap downward. Now Hero can see the Confederate flag printed on the front. The embroidered words, New South Africa Franchise Number 153. Hero pushes himself up over the table, spins around, and slides backward on his ass toward Chuck, trying to get the table between him and the new South African. Chuck has conveniently vanished, so Hero ends up standing with his back comfortably to the wall, looking out over the bar. At the same time, a dozen or so other men are standing up from their tables, forming up behind the first one in a grinning, sunburned phalanx of Confederate flags and sideburns.
Let's see, Hero says. Is that some kind of a trick question?
There are a lot of town halls and a lot of Snooze and Cruise franchises where you have to check your weapons at the entrance. This is not one of them. Hero isn't sure if that is bad or good. Without weapons, the new South Africans would just beat the crap out of him. With weapons, Hero can fight back, but the stakes are higher. Hero is bulletproof up to his neck, but that just means the new South Africans will all be going for a headshot. And they pride themselves on marksmanship. It is a fetish with them.
Isn't there an NSA franchise down the road? Hero says.
Yeah,
says the point man, who has a long, spreading body and short, stumpy legs.
It's heaven. It really is. Ain't no place on earth like a new South Africa.
Well, then, if you don't mind my asking, Hero says, if it's so damn nice, why don't y'all go back to your egg sack and hang out there?
There's one problem with New South Africa, the guy says. Don't mean to sound unpatriotic, but it's true.
And what is that problem? Hero says.
There's no niggers, gooks, or kikes there to beat the shit out of.
Ah, that is a problem, Hero says. Thank you.
For what?
For announcing your intentions. Giving me the right to do this.
Then Hero cuts his head off.
What else can he do?
There are at least 12 of them. They have made a point of blocking the only exit. They have just announced their intentions, and presumably they are all carrying heat. Besides, this kind of thing is going to happen to him about every 10 seconds when he's on the raft. The new South African has no idea what's coming, but he starts to react as Hero is swinging the katana at his neck, so he is flying backward when the decapitation occurs. That is good, because about half his blood supply comes lofting out the top of his neck. Twin jets, one from each carotid. Hero doesn't get a drop on himself. In the metaverse, the blade just passes right through if you swing it quickly enough. Here in reality, Hero's expecting a powerful shock when his blade hits the new South African's neck. Like when you hit a baseball the wrong way, but he hardly feels a thing. It just goes right through and almost swings around and buries itself in the wall. He must have gotten lucky and hit a gap between vertebrae. Hero's training comes back to him, oddly. He forgot to squeeze it off, forgot to stop the blade himself, and that's bad form. Even though he's expecting it, he's startled for a minute. This sort of thing doesn't happen with avatars. They just fall down. For an astonishingly long time, he just stands there and looks at the guy's body. Meanwhile, the airborne cloud of blood is seeking its level, dripping from the hung ceiling, spattering down from shelves behind the bar.
A wino sitting there nursing a double shot of vodka shakes and shivers, staring into his glass at the galactic swirl of a trillion red cells dying in the ethanol. Hero swaps a few long glances with the new South Africans, like everyone in the bar is trying to come to a consensus as to what will happen next. Should they laugh, take a picture, run away, call an ambulance? He makes his way around toward the exit by running across people's tables. It is rude, but other patrons scoot back. Some of them are quick enough to snatch their beers out of his way, and no one gives him any hassles. The sight of the bare katana inspires everyone to a practically Nipponese level of politeness. There are a couple more new South Africans blocking Hero's way out, but not because they want to stop anyone. It's just where they happen to be standing when they go into shock. Hero decides, reflexively, not to kill them. And Hero is off into the lurid main avenue of the town hall, a tunnel of flickering and pulsating low-glow, through which black creatures sprint like benighted sperm up the old fallopians, sharp angular things clenched in their hands. They are the enforcers. They make the average metacop look like Ranger Rick. Gargoyle time. Hero switches everything on. Infrared, millimeter wave radar, ambient sound processing. The infrared doesn't do much in these circumstances, but the radar picks out all the weapons, highlights them in the enforcer's hands, identifies them by make, model, and ammunition type. They're all fully automatic. But the enforcers and the new South Africans don't need radar to see Hero's katana, with blood and spinal fluid running down the blade. The music of Vitali Chernobyl and the Meltdowns is blasting through bad speakers all around him. It is their first single to hit the Billboard charts, entitled My Heart is a Smoking Hole in the Ground. The ambient sound processing cuts it to a more reasonable level, evens out the nasty distortion from the speakers so that he can hear his roommate singing more clearly, which makes it all particularly surreal. It just goes to show that he's out of his element, doesn't belong here, lost in the biomass. If there was any justice, he could jump into those speakers and trace up the wires like a digital sylph, follow the grid back to L.A. where he belongs, there on top of the world, where everything comes from, buy Vitali a drink, crawl into his futon. He stumbles forward helplessly as something terrible happens to his back. It feels like being massaged with 100 ball-peen hammers. At the same time, a yellow sputtering light overrides the low-glow. A screaming red display flashes up on the goggles, informing him that the millimeter wave radar has noticed a stream of bullets headed in his direction, and would you like to know where they came from, sir? Hero has just been shot in the back with a burst of machine gun fire. All of the bullets have slapped into his vest and dropped to the floor, but in doing so, they have cracked about half of the ribs on that side of his body and bruised a few internal organs. He turns around, which hurts. The enforcer has given up on bullets and whipped out another weapon. It says so right on Hero's goggles. Pacific Enforcement Hardware, Inc. Model SX-29. Restraint projection device. Loogie gun. Which is what he should have used in the first place. You can't just carry a sword around as an empty threat. You shouldn't draw it or keep it drawn unless you intend to kill someone. Hero runs toward the enforcer, raising the katana to strike. The enforcer does the proper thing, namely, gets the hell out of his way. The silver ribbon of the katana shines up above the crowd. It attracts enforcers and repels everyone else. So as Hero runs down the center of the town hall, he has no one in front of him and many shiny dark creatures behind him. He turns off all of the techno shit in his goggles. All it does is confuse him. He stands there, reading statistics about his own death, even as it's happening to him. Very postmodern. Time to get immersed in reality like all the people around him. Not even enforcers will fire their big guns in a crowd, unless it's point-blank range, or they're in a really bad mood. A few loogies shoot past Hero, already so spread out as to be nothing more than an annoyance, and splat into bystanders, wrapping them in sticky gossamer veils. Somewhere between the 3D video game arcade and the display window full of terminally bored prostitutes, Hero's eyes clear up and he sees a miracle. the exit of the inflatable dome, where the doors exhale a breeze of synthetic beer breath and atomized body fluids into the cool night air. Bad things and good things are happening in quick succession. The next bad thing happens when a steel grate falls down to block the doors. What the hell? It's an inflatable building. Hero turns on the radar just for a moment, and the walls seem to drop away and become invisible. He's seeing through them now, into the forest of steel outside. It doesn't take long to locate the parking lot where he left his bike, supposedly under the protection of some armed attendants. Hero fakes toward the whorehouse, then cuts directly toward an exposed section of wall. The fabric of the building is tough, but his katana slices a 6-foot rent through it with a single gliding motion, and then he's outside, spat out of the hole on a jet of fetid air. After that, after Hero gets onto his motorcycle, and the new South Africans get into their all-terrain pickups, and the enforcers get into their slick black enforcer mobiles, and they all go screaming out into the highway. After that, it's just the chase scene.